If you have your Bibles, you can open those to Acts chapter 10. We are continuing to go through this series in the book of Acts. And, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this is we want to, we've talked about getting back to the basics of the faith and just getting back to what the early church was like, particularly just the fervency that they had for Jesus. And so we just want to be praying that that would happen in us, in our church, and just the way that the church at that time impacted their society. We want to see those same things happen. So just as we're in this book, I don't know about you, but I'm being stirred to just reevaluate my life and get back to what does God call us to be and do as a people. And anybody else being stirred by that? Anybody? Any hands? See a few head nods. Let's just be praying for that to happen in all of us. It's also been neat just going through books of the Bible and encountering what God has for us. We're just kind of going through this section by section. And I know sometimes you think, well, you know, we should just deal with topics that are relevant today, you know, just come in and talk about whatever is in the headlines. And we could do that, and some people do that, and that's fine. But it's also neat, just as you go through the Bible, God speaks to you, and He speaks to the things that, you are going through. And I just find that over and over again, how God speaks to us through His Word, whether it's on Sundays or your daily quiet time, He often gives you what you need. And the passage that we're in today, as I got to it and was studying it this week, I thought this is such a relevant passage of Scripture for what we're going through today. As you turn on the news and you see different headlines of things going on in the world, you see different instances of hate and murder and racism. Things that just, it's so grieving to see those things happening. And just this last week in Atlanta, there was a shooting, involved 7 or 8 people, and just over and over again, we see things like this happening. And when these things happen, there's a grief, there's just a shock that I experience. But there's also, the conversation starts of how do we heal these things? How do we change? How does hate come to an end? How do we solve the issues of racism? And as believers, we can talk about many different aspects of that. We can talk about different ways that we can love our neighbors. But one of the greatest ways that we believe that this problem is going to be solved is by us getting on board with God's agenda. It is by seeing that God loves all people and draws all people into a relationship with Himself, regardless of nationality or race. We all need a Savior, and God has provided that Savior. And we're in a powerful passage of Scripture where we see that there are racial divides that existed in the day of the early church. There's a lot of divides, and we see that those divides start to get broken down. And this passage today, we see that in particular. One of the great divides of the time back then, it was between the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews and the non-Jews. In this passage of Scripture, we see that wall gets broken down, and it gets broken down because God is showing that He is calling all people to Himself. We see that in the book of Revelation, in heaven, there are people of every tribe, every tongue, every nationality are around the throne celebrating. It means that all people can be saved through Jesus. It's not just for one particular race. Jesus is the Savior of the world, so He's the one that all people can come to find forgiveness. And when we find forgiveness, when we find acceptance in Him, we find acceptance with others as well. So I think this is a powerful passage for us as believers. I think it's a powerful passage for us to be talking about with others, because so many people are looking for how do we solve the racial issues. Well, here's our big idea for the day. God accepts all people who turn to Him and trust Him. That means all people, right? Not just white people, but white people, brown people, tall people, short people. You also start to see that sometimes we put up other divisions. You know, we start to think that maybe, well, hey, you know, this person, he is a well-respected job in society, so he deserves this, but what about this person that's of a different economic level? There's not a shortage to barriers that people can put up to keep others on the outskirts of society or on the outskirts of whatever it is that you're in. We see that's broken down here. God is accepting all people. And we're going to see that happen today. We're going to see how Cornelius, a Gentile, no Jewish background, he is accepted as one of God's people. And so if God is accepting all people, what should we do? We should accept all people. That's right, Charlie. You know, this is the thing. It's so often that the ethics of the Christian faith come down to what has God done? And that has an impact on what we do, that we would accept other people. Accept them, not just tolerate them, but accept them into the family. This is one of the things that we want to be about as a church, that we are a church family, and that as people come in, it's not just, hey, we're tolerating you, we'll allow you to come in, but no, it's come on in. We're a family, and we want you to be part of our family. And I don't know when things happen on the news and, you know, we start hearing about events, people do horrific things. I know for a lot of my friends of color, they hear that and they get concerned. I think sometimes most white people don't realize that these things go on, and we can look at it and be like, man, that's just nonsense. It's crazy that happened. We can brush it off, whereas a lot of our friends of color can feel it in different ways. And I just want you to know, you're one of our family of color. We're one family, and we are grateful for you to be here. And we want you to know that as you see things going on in the world, we're not going to tolerate that in our church. We're going to speak up against those things. And we want you to know that you are a family member. We love you. We care about you. God has accepted you. We're going to do the same thing. And I hope that as we build this church, we build it with that idea of being a family that looks very different. You know, we were in a Bible study this week with guys, and we were just looking around and thought, you know what? None of these guys would be together apart from Jesus. We're all just so different, different seasons of life, different backgrounds, but it's so cool gathering together and knowing that because of Jesus, we can relate on such a deep level. We can treat one another as real brothers in Christ, and that's what we want to do as we gather, as we build this church. We want to be a real family, a family that reflects what heaven's going to be like. Different colors, different nationalities, different backgrounds, but all coming together to celebrate and worship Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. Anybody with me? Amen. All right. Colt, you with me? All right. All right. Well, good. Well, we are going to read this passage of Scripture, and we're going to see what God does to start to break down these racial divides. So we're going to be looking at Peter, the disciple, and we're going to be looking at a man named Cornelius. We're going to learn about who Cornelius was. We're going to read, this is Acts chapter 10. We're going to read the whole chapter. It says, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion, a soldier in what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. At about 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to him, Cornelius. Looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel told him, your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called 2 of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent to Joppa. The next day, as they were traveling and nearing the city, Peter went up to pray on the housetop at about noon. Then he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were preparing something, he had a vision. He saw heaven open and an object coming down that resembled a large sheet being lowered to the earth by its 4 corners. In it were all the 4-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and the birds of the sky. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, Peter said, for I have never eaten anything common and unclean. And again, a second time, a voice said to him, what God has made clean, you must not call common. This happened 3 times, and then the object was taken up into heaven. While Peter was deeply perplexed about what the vision he had seen might mean, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions to Simon's house, stood at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was also named Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, 3 men are here looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and accompany them with no doubts at all. because I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men and said, "Here I am, the one you're looking for. What is the reason you're here?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who has a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you." Peter then invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and set out with them. Some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. The following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshiped him. But Peter helped him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." While talking with him, he went on in and found that many had come there to hear. Peter said to them, "You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate or even visit a foreigner. But God has shown me that I must not call any person common or unclean. That's why I came without any objection. When I was sent for, so I asked, 'Why did you send for me?' And Cornelius replied, 4 days ago at this hour, at 3 p.m, I was praying in my house. Just then a man in dazzling robes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your acts of charity have been remembered in God's sight. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and invite Simon here, who is also named Peter. He's lodging in Simon the Tanner's house by the sea. Therefore, I immediately sent for you, and you did the right thing in coming. So we are all present before God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord.' Peter began to speak, 'In truth, I understand that God does not show favoritism. But in every nation, the person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the sons of Israel proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem. Yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and permitted him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us witnesses appointed beforehand by God, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking in other languages and declaring the greatness of God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold water and prevent these from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they asked him to stay for a few days. It's the word of the Lord. That's a lot. Yes, Colt. What time is it? The big idea? Do we need to see the big idea again? It's time to go upstairs. That's right. All right, kids. You can walk slowly upstairs. Great job, guys. You forget a few times and they won't let you after that. So, well, good. I want to go through and talk about this passage of Scripture, and I want to talk about three main people in this passage. The first person to look at is Cornelius. Cornelius, we've talked about him. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. The Jews were God's covenant people. Cornelius would have been outside of that, but we also see that he was a man who knew the Jewish scriptures. He knew what God had done, but he doesn't seem to be a full convert to Judaism. We also see that he is a commander in the Roman army. He would have been probably what we would consider a captain, over probably 300 to 600 different people. and he sees a vision of what God is doing. Now, when you have a vision, you've got a captain in the army, and he sees a vision and gets scared. You know there's something significant to that, right? He sees this angel, he becomes fearful. But it's neat that he does what he's told to do. I just want to keep highlighting that. You know, as we've been talking about being in discovery groups and reading God's word and thinking, what do we need to do? Keep seeing over and over that in the early church, God told them to do something and they went and did it. We saw that last week. We see it again here. In verse 33, it says, immediately he sends for Peter. Just a reminder that sometimes, oftentimes, when we seek God, he's going to call us to do things. When you're seeking him for direction, he's going to call you to do certain things. We've got to do it. We've got to follow him. As we have his word and we read his word, he's going to call us to do different things. We can't just be head knowledge. We've got to put it into action. Cornelius does that here. We see that he's an outsider. He is outside the Jewish faith, but God is calling him. And Cornelius is a man who's known for his good works. But good works aren't enough, are they? It says that his good works, his prayers have been heard by God, and what that has gotten him, it hasn't gotten him salvation, but God is sending someone to Cornelius to explain what he's doing more fully. Cornelius needs the gospel. He's an outsider. He is someone that needs full acceptance into the community of God's people, and he's going to find that not in his works, but in a Savior. That's a huge difference. You know, Billy Graham, he said that it's not people's sins that usually send them to hell. It's usually their good works. A lot of times we rely on our good works and we say, well, I've done all these things. I should be accepted by God. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that are in church or have some knowledge and understanding of Scripture, but when you ask them, you know, what would give you a right standing before God? Often they start listing the things that they've done. They can start listing the poor that they've fed, the offerings that they've made. Cornelius has done all of that, but he's not resting in his works. He's responding to God. And that's something that we all need to hear and recognize, because a lot of times what can keep us from God is our own good works. We can feel like, well, God, I've done this, so I don't need to really trust in Jesus. I'm not that bad off. Look at all these great things that I've done. Sometimes we can start justify why we don't need to be obedient to what God calls us to do. Well, I don't want to go and share the gospel with that guy because, well, I went to church today. I'm okay. I don't need to do that. I gave to this or that. We can start to justify why we don't need to be obedient to God. A lot of times it's our good works that can keep us from God. It's also our good works that can keep us from other people. Good works, it feeds our pride. And where we feel that we don't need to obey God separates us from him, but it can also separate us from other people because we start to think, well, I'm just better than you. Look what I've done. I've done this. You haven't done that. If you want to kill the mission that God has for his people, you just let pride to start to swell, pride to start to feed on the good things that we've done, the times we've been obedient. Those can keep us from a deeper relationship with God. We see that Cornelius, he's done some neat things, but he's being called into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first person. Second person to look at here is Peter. Peter is the one that needs to share God's message. You know, we've talked about in the book of Acts how God is moving, but his people are hungering for that. His people are hungering to see him made known to others. And we see that God is using people to advance his mission. He's using Peter here. Now, Peter, he's a Jew. There would have been certain foods that they did and did not eat, certain foods that if you ate, you would be considered unclean. Much of the food that comes out of the ocean would be considered unclean. Peter is on his roof. He's praying. He has a vision of a sheet being let down into the ocean. That word for sheet, it could be translated as a sail, like a boat sail. So he sees a sail lowered into the ocean. It comes up with all kinds of food. And Peter's response is no way. You know, Peter's hungry. You know, if you want to get a guy's attention, use food and do it when he's hungry, right? All right, so this gets Peter's attention. You know, the word is kill and eat, and he's saying, surely not. You know, it's interesting that he's staying with a tanner, because a tanner would be doing things with dead animals, and they too would have been considered unclean. So probably a little bit of preparation going on in Peter's life as God unveils his plan that he is going to bring the nations in. Peter sees that all things are being made clean. All things are being made clean in Jesus. You know, they would have been forbidden to eat pigs. You know, now, because of Jesus, we can eat bacon. All right, if you don't get anything else out of this message, remember, we can eat bacon. We see how powerful the work of Jesus is, that it's changing the law. That things that had before been considered unclean are now being made clean through him. And that there are bigger pigs than just animals that need to be made clean. Gentiles are being made clean. So are the Jews. They are being made clean, not through their ceremonies, but through Jesus. Peter is getting a bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. Saying, what God has made clean, you must not call common. You know, Peter is having his world turned upside down. And it's interesting because some people have called this passage the conversion of Peter rather than the conversion of Cornelius. Peter's being converted. He's starting to see what God is doing in the world. He's starting to see that God is accepting people of all nations, and he is going to be called not just to share the gospel with others, but he's going to be coming into their living room. I mean, it's amazing what happens here. You know, we see that in verse 28, that it was forbidden for a Jew to associate with a foreigner. It's forbidden. They weren't to do it. You know, it was part of the laws. Now, that was not God's original intent. We see from the very beginning, go back to Genesis 12, you see that as God starts redemptive history, he is drawing a particular people to himself, and the intent is that he would reach the nations with that. You see that in Genesis. You see it throughout the prophets, that there is a time that the Messiah is going to come and draw all people to himself. But in this time, the Jews had they complicated things. They put divisions where there shouldn't have been divisions. And so they're keeping the nations out. And we're seeing that God is doing something different. Peter is going to be going to people he didn't expect to go to. And he is going to be hanging out with them, getting to know them, being in their houses, in their living rooms. Peter's having to face the fact that much of what he has learned in the past is not God's intent. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, and we, his people, are being sent to share that love to all people, to all nations, to all colors, to all regions. We're to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what we're called to do. You can see the divisions that would have been in Peter's day and how he's having to get over some hurdles from his past. And, you know, as you talk about racism, as you talk about pride, you go to any point in history and you see different things that people would be proud about. You see different things that people were willing to establish barriers to keep others away. It's a part of the fallen, sinful condition. We all have seeds of that in our hearts. And if we start watering that, those seeds of pride and racism can start to grow. The gospel starts to choke out those weeds. The gospel changes all of that. We need to be like Peter. You know, I think everybody would probably have somebody in your life that you may think, hey, they're just too far gone. It may be racial. It may be economic. It may just be that, hey, I grew up in this town and the people on that side of town, you know, we just don't associate. It may be in the office where you're an engineer and, hey, those are salespeople over there. They're below me. It may be different departments in your workplace where you can start to think that you're bigger, you're better than other people. And we need to realize that what the scriptures teach is that we are all sinful. We are all fallen. Old saying that the ground is level at the foot of the cross is true. We all need a Savior. We have that in common with every person. Look at anybody in the eye, no matter how great they seem, you can say, you know, we're all sinners. Some people say we all put our shoes on one at a time. Yes, that's true, but it also means that we are all sinful. Before a holy God, we are unholy, we are common, we are unclean, and we need salvation in Jesus. it levels it, but it also, the cross pulls us up. Jesus' work pulls us all up, that we have a Savior, that we can turn to Him and be accepted. Peter is learning this. He's learning just how significant the work of Christ is. God is making a way for all people to know Him. And if we're followers of Jesus, then we should be willing to welcome all others in to know Jesus as well. So that's Peter. The third person to look at is God. I want to talk about what He's doing. God is accepting people through Christ. The Spirit comes upon Cornelius in an obvious way at the very end to show that God has truly accepted him. The Gentiles are experiencing the same thing that was experienced at Pentecost. The gospel is going forward. God is drawing all people to Himself. They're accepted. That word accepted, it means that they are welcomed. It means that they have been received. It means that they are pleasing. They're in a pleasing state. You know, we see God getting Peter's attention through food. So I thought, you know, we could just kind of do the same thing here, talking about being accepted. You know, if you go out to a restaurant and you order a steak, and you order it like any good steak should be, you order it medium rare, and then they bring that thing to you and it's burnt to a crisp, you're going to look at that and be like, this is unacceptable, right? You're going to get that and say, I refuse to eat this. I refuse to pay for it. Send it back. It would be unacceptable. You don't want that charred piece of meat on your plate. You want a nice juicy steak, right? Well, in the spiritual sense, we would all be unacceptable before God. We have sinned. Every time we sin, every time we disobey God, it makes us unacceptable before Him, where He would look at us and just dismiss us as unaccepted, unwelcomed, unwanted. But the neat thing is that in Jesus Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. This passage, it mentions the forgiveness of sins. All the things that you've done wrong, they can be wiped away. All the mistakes that you've made, even the times that you tried to do the right thing but you messed up, you can be forgiven. You can have that wiped off. The things that you have a hard time forgiving yourself for. You know, a lot of times people struggle with depression and anxiety because they just can't escape the things that they've done in the past. They think, how could I have done that? You can be forgiven for that. Some of the things that you see other people do that you just have such a hard time, you can't forgive them. And then you think, well, why would God ever forgive me? Well, He forgive you because Jesus has died for your sins. He died for your mistakes. He took them away. On the cross, He was beaten and brutally crucified. He died in your place so that you could be forgiven. We can be accepted. Just think about that, being welcomed. When they bring a steak and it's cooked right, you want it, you receive it, right? He's talking about being accepted. We can be accepted by God. That's an amazing thing, that we can stand in His presence, that we can be welcomed. We need to be forgiven for our sin. We don't need to be forgiven for our skin color, right? But we need our sins forgiven, and we have that in Jesus. And if God accepts us, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. But as believers, if God has accepted us, then we want to accept everyone else that is trusted in Jesus. We accept them just as we've been accepted in Jesus. That's what we want to be about. God is freeing people in Jesus. He's setting them free from pride. He's setting them free from hatred. He's setting them free from all the barriers that humans will set up. And we can be brought into a single family of God where we love each other, we know each other. You know, verse 38 reminds us that what Jesus was doing is that He went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil. You know, when I look at the headlines so often, I just think, man, this is the tyranny of the devil. I mean, you see the hatred, you know, in racism, you see the hatred that's just out there. Cancel culture, everybody canceling somebody for some reason. I mean, every day somebody else has been canceled, just removed. Get this person out of here. Doesn't even belong to be here. Us as believers, we're going to have to show the love of Christ to people who all they know is cancel. All they know is, you don't line up with me, I'm canceling you out. We're going to have to be the ones that are bigger than others and go out and love people who want to cancel us. Love people. Doesn't mean we back down. We share truth with them. We're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to be willing to stand in dark and difficult places and be the light of Christ. That's what God calls us to do. We're going to be called to love people who don't love us. And we're going to do that because of what God has done for us. Verse 34, we're reminded that God does not show favoritism. That word there, favoritism, it has the word prosopos is the face of a person. God doesn't just look on the face. He doesn't just look on the superficial. He's calling all people to himself. God looks below the surface. We need to make sure that we do the same thing. And it also reminds us that as we look below the surface, we don't just look at the appearance and cut people off. We look below that. We also are reminded that God looks at our hearts. And we want to make sure that our hearts are lining up with what God calls us to do. We don't just come and go through motions and do the right thing politically and then go home and be somebody else. We want God's word to change our hearts, to go down deep inside of who we are. We want to make sure that we are on board with what God is doing in the world. We want to make sure that our hearts are in line with the mission that he has for us. The mission to go and love unlovable people. Go and love those who aren't loving us. We have a mission. Where pride starts to well up, the fuel for mission is going to dry up. We want to make sure we understand what God has done in our lives, and we want to go and share that with others. You know, this is such a neat passage because it ends with Cornelius and Peter hanging out. They're becoming friends. The gap is being bridged. The barriers are being broken down, and you see them not just associating, not just being together on Sunday, but actually eating together, being in each other's lives. And we're going to see that continues throughout the New Testament. Continues throughout the church, reminded how those racial barriers can be broken down. You know, this passage, it reminded me just how powerful the gospel can be. And I was thinking about a relative of mine that growing up in Macon, Georgia, there was a lot of racial divisions. It was everywhere, black, white. And you might associate with people at school or at work, but it rarely came into the living room. You didn't really become real brothers. And I was thinking about this relative of mine who became a Christian shortly after I did. And God started working in his heart. And he worked in the State Department of Corrections. So he was used to seeing people in jails and prisons. And a lot of who he worked with were black. And that kind of fostered some of the divisions that were there. But funny thing happened with him. Shortly after becoming a Christian, he started reading the Bible and understanding God's call on his life, God's call to accept people of color. God started working in his life. And then one day a guy shows up to church. It was a guy that he had known through his work, and it was a guy that had done time in jail. The guy got mad at his girlfriend at the time, and she was working at Hardee's. He drove his car through the front of the Hardee's. Killed her, and then he got out of the car and shot himself in the head to kill himself, but he went blind. And this guy knew him from prison, and my relative is going to church, and all of a sudden this guy walks into church, predominantly white church. This guy had killed his girlfriend, was not a good person, but he'd been converted in prison, and he came into this church a bit hesitant, wondering would he be accepted not just for his race but also because of the things that he'd done in the past. And my relative went, shook hands with him, said, "Do you remember me?" He said, "Yeah, I do." They started talking. Long story short, this guy from prison ends up getting baptized and asked my relative if he would be there to baptize him. I just thought, what a powerful story of how God's breaking down barriers, breaking down the things that we've done in the past, bringing healing and restoration, where murderers can be forgiven and can be changed and be brought into the family of God, where people that are of a different race and different color can be brought into the family of God. One of the things that just gets in my heart so much about that. As I think about the first time I came to a church, I was lost, I was confused, I was into drugs and partying and everything else. And there is absolutely no reason anybody should have reached out to me. And I just remember coming in. There were guys my age reaching out to me. There were older guys with families coming and reaching out to this loser punk 18-year-old kid. And I just had no idea why anybody would want to hang out with me. I looked and I thought, I've got nothing in common. I'm lost, I'm confused, and you guys seem to have everything together. Now I learned that wasn't true. They had a lot more together than I did, but they were just forgiven sinners. Church, that's what we need to be about. We need to be about welcoming people when they come in our doors. Doesn't matter where they've been. Doesn't matter what race. There's forgiveness in Jesus. The thing they most need can be found in Jesus Christ. We want to share that with them. We want to be quick when people walk through our doors to welcome them in, to love them, to share truth, but to share our lives also. Sometimes it's easy to share truth. It's hard to share your life, but that's what we want to be about. That's what's going on with Cornelius and Peter. Those barriers are being broken down, and we're seeing just how transformative the work of Christ can be. That's what the church was called to do then. That's what it's called to do now. To focus not on exteriors, not on appearance, but to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that our sins can be forgiven. We thank you that we can have new life in you. We thank you that you welcome those who have no business being in your presence. And we thank you that you make a way for us to come into your family. We thank you that we have a hope that is living, that is active, that is real, that is changing us. It's changing us from the inside out, and it is changing everything that we do. It's changing who we relate with, and it's changing what we view as important. God, I just pray for those that may be here and feel that they are too far off. God, I pray that they would see this passage of Scripture and be reminded of what you've done in Christ, and that the only thing that is keeping them from you is their own unbelief. And I pray that you would help them to repent, to confess that sin, and to just ask for help. Say, God, help me believe. And I pray that they would put their faith in you right now. Pray that they would just say that they're no longer following the world, but they are following you. And if you recognize you need to accept what Christ has done for you, just pray you'd say that right now. Just say, God, I accept. I accept your sacrifice for my sins. I accept the work of Jesus. I accept him as my Savior and my Lord. Just say that right now if that's you. And God, I just pray for others. You continue to change us just as you continued to change Peter. And I pray where we need to see change, where we need to be brought more on board with your agenda, just pray that you would do that. Help us to see how amazing the gospel is, and help us to share that with others. We pray this in Jesus' name.